All right. So question four, it's a kind of a big one in the body of Christ, but what is the rapture and when is the rapture?
Yeah, we can answer that in 8 minutes, I guarantee you. So the rapture, that word itself is actually not used in the New Testament. It actually comes from the Latin translation of the New Testament. It's a Greek word, raptus, which means catching up. And so we see in the scripture, there's Paul talks about a catching up of the saints, and Jesus describes it in detail. He calls it a gathering of the saints from one end of heaven to the other in Matthew 24. But it's a moment in time where Jesus begins what we would say is the second coming procession. Mm-hmm. And it starts with him coming to the clouds and gathering all the saints from the earth who are alive. He catches them up to meet the Lord in the air. There's another dimension to that, not just the living saints,
right,
but those that are dead in Christ return with the Lord, and they all meet together in the air with the Lord. And that is what's known as the rapture event. It's the beginning of the second coming procession.
Right.
And, you know, different end times perspectives, they will take the rapture and they'll either, some just say, it's not a thing, it's not happening. Some say it happens, but not in conjunction with Jesus' actual coming,
right,
that there's a rapture, a big pause, like a 7-year pause, and then the second coming.
Right. So the rapture would be before the tribulation.
Right, before the tribulation. Mm-hmm. But when you read Matthew 24, it's the clearest, and it's the first time we see it mentioned in the New Testament, the catching up of the saints, Matthew 24. It's really, really clear. He goes, after the tribulation of those days,
right,
you'll see the sign of the Son of Man coming, and he will gather his elect from one corner of heaven to the other. He'll gather them to himself. And that is the first description we have in the New Testament of the rapture.
Right.
He literally says it's after the Great Tribulation.
Right.
So there's a lot of reasons why there became these other perspectives.
Sure.
Because the details of the book of Revelation, they can be at times tricky to sort of sort out what's the timeline, how does this thing work. But when you approach the Bible without any preconceived idea and you just read Jesus teaching from the Olivet Discourse, and you start there as the first explanation and then let the rest of the New Testament inform,
mm-hmm,
it's hard to move it anywhere than where Jesus said it is, which is after the tribulation. And so we see that also played out in the book of Revelation.
Right.
Paul alludes to it. He describes at the sound of the last trumpet. And then in the book of Revelation, there is a sequence of trumpets that are sounded that are actual judgment events. And at the last trumpet, there's a dynamic declaration that happens over the earth. At the sounding of the last trumpet, there's several components that are declared from heaven, but the one that is so telltale, he says, and the kingdoms of this world,
right,
shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdoms of this world are coming under the leadership of Jesus. Well, that's because at that last trumpet, just like Paul said, Jesus Christ is returning. So we see the rapture as the first step in a much broader second coming procession.
Right.
And it has, you know, a lot of fantastic dynamic components to it. But where we see it taking place would be at the end of the tribulation, after the tribulation.
Right.
So that's a big one, because am I saying the church is going to be here through the hardest time that's ever been in the history? So he calls it the Great Tribulation, the greatest time of tribulation that's mm-hmm. ever been in the history of man. The answer is yes. We're saying that the church is going to be here through that, but it's in that time that the power of God and the grace of God is released in a dynamic way that not just sustains the church,
right,
but empowers the church to release, I mean, the kingdom across the nations. That's where we actually see the fullness of the great harvest and the ingathering of souls from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation.
Yeah. And so, just to piggyback off that, I think there's, you know, you look at a couple of things. You look at just even church history. You know, the view that the church was going to be here through the time of trouble is, I mean, well established for
super important thought, guys.
Yeah, for nearly 1,800 years of Christianity starting, the only version of a rapture was only a post-tribulational rapture.
Yeah, we don't even get that till the 1830s.
Exactly,
a pre-trib. We don't get a pre-trib rapture in church history
until
1830s.
There was different views on the millennium timing, but there was the view on when the second coming in relation to the time of trouble and the rapture of the church. It was all uniform. And then there's, like Billy said, there's so many verses that when you just read it, you go, well, this clearly, I mean, I'm just thinking of one, you know, 2 Thessalonians 3, the Lord, he says, now concerning the coming of the Lord and our gathering together to him, he says, we ask you not be soon shaken either by word or by letter or by spirit, as though the day of Christ had already come. He says, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. Mm-hmm. So he says the coming of the Lord and the gathering together to him, mm-hmm. that's the rapture, mm-hmm. won't happen until after the mm-hmm. Antichrist, the man of sin, is revealed. Mm-hmm. Well, the idea that we get out of here before the time of trouble, mm-hmm. that just completely destroys that narrative. It demands that the rapture can't happen until after trouble starts. And that was the view of the earliest church fathers. That was the it's obviously the view that we hold. But we know there are people that do hold different opinions on that are godly, that love Jesus, that have so much value, and they have even good teaching on certain things. We just would say that's an area that we would say, hey, you know, we don't think that's correct.
Yeah, we differ on that.
But we value, you know, input from many, many different types of camps.
For sure. So. But I think when you recognize that there is a purification that happens of the church through trial, it sets your expectations for this age differently than sort of an American easy believism,
right?
Which I think that's one of the challenges with the church today is that we've got this sort of easy believism. I'm going to get rich. I'm going to be prosperous. I'm going to be blessed. Then I'm going to get raptured out of here. Praise God. It's never going to get hard. And that's just not the thrust of the New Testament. It's not the thrust of the apostolic witness in the New Testament. It's not the thrust of Jesus' teaching on the end times, of Paul's explanation of life in this age, of Peter's explanation of life in this age. It's not the testimony that we see in the book of Revelation.
Right.
And so there is a narrative in the scripture that has been many times largely hidden intentionally by Bible teachers and at times overlooked, that the bride, the church, becomes purified through trials, mm-hmm. not in the absence of them. And so when you look at the story arc, the idea that a rapture and a gathering to the Lord as a part of the second coming at the end, it makes a lot of sense in light of the whole kind of, I would just say, perspective of how Christians become sanctified and what we see with the Old Testament saints and the mm-hmm. New Testament apostles, how the process of their life with God is, it's through trials,
through tribulation,
not in the absence of them. So we see the rapture, this is the short answer, is taking place after the tribulation, at the seventh trumpet. Paul said at the sounding, at the last trump, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and will be forever with the Lord. So just want to encourage you to dig into Matthew 24, 1 Corinthians 15, 2 Thessalonians 2. Dig into those chapters. 1 Thessalonians 4.
Yeah, 4 and 5. Yeah.
4 and 5. They'll give you some, you know, biblical thoughts and base it from Jesus' teaching, and you'll find that the biblical narrative it's pretty clear and extremely supportive of Jesus' initial teaching on it, that he's coming after the tribulation.